More often than not, the case is that over time, the more familiar we become with something, the less fascination we have with it. Now, I'm going to show my age here a little bit, but how many of you have ever seen an 8-track tape? Anybody? Okay. What about an audio cassette tape? Anyone? What about, now this is really a long time ago, but they're coming back. What about a record? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. Now, what about an MP3 song? Does anybody have one of those maybe? Okay. Now, the thing about music is, sometimes you like a song at first, right? It's really awesome. I'm the kind of person that I have a favorite song, and I play it over and over and over and over again, and even everybody that rides in my car is like, please, Courtney, choose something different. I'm like, no, just one more time, repeat, and I listen to it. And then, unfortunately, because I've listened to it so much, I get a little tired of it, right? And I keep thinking, oh, I should go back and listen to that song, but I never do. So I think about some things that when newness is exciting and relevant and exciting right in front of us and it's new and wonderful, we love it. But then as time goes on, the wonder of what we loved begins to fade. And I think sometimes that happens at Christmas time too. We have heard, if you're anywhere near my age or a little bit older or even a little bit younger, you've probably heard the Christmas story over and over and over again. And even though it happened like 2,000 years ago, right? Sometimes it just doesn't really make sense today, and it seems like it might be an old, old story from a long time ago. The coming of Jesus, though, immediately began to change those people that encountered him. Jesus' birth, if we look back at it, was transformational. And I think it's very interesting if we look at the Christmas story about who is remembered from it. You might have noticed in the story that King Herod was there. We do talk about him a little bit. But I don't hear anybody calling anybody Caesar Augustus or Quirinius, do you? I mean, I don't even see like people naming their kids that. Sometimes people name their dogs maybe Caesar, I don't know. But most of the time, these really significant people in history from a long, long time ago seem to kind of fade away. And the people that we seem to feature and highlight from the story are maybe the ones that we might think are a little bit insignificant. How many of you have ever been a shepherd taking care of sheep? Anyone been on a farm? You ever had that job? Okay, it has its glorious moments, right? I mean, the sheep are wonderful, right? But oftentimes, it's kind of a burdensome job, right? I mean, isn't it, maybe? Don, you can tell me, I don't know. But they're kind of burdensome, right? I mean, as a matter of fact, when we look at shepherds in reality, most of the time, they're out in the field, right? So they don't have time to bathe very often. Michelle, were you with Don when he was? Okay, all right. Anyway, so they don't have time to bathe very often, and they also don't really often socialize because they're out there with the animals. You know, they're kind of hanging, so they're a little quiet, but they love these animals. They're beautiful. They take care of them. They feed them. But a shepherd, in Scripture's understanding, was a lowly job. It was not a prestigious position where you would make lots of money and have a beautiful place to live. You would have been somebody that kind of laid low. Let's also think about Joseph and Mary. Joseph was a carpenter. Has anybody ever built anything out of wood? Have you all ever carved anything or designed anything? Yeah? Okay. And maybe as a trade, have you ever sold it for some money? Yeah? Have you? Good job. Excellent. Yeah. My dad, I remember when I was little, he was in ministry, and he often talked about how in ministry we don't get to see the fruits of our labor very often because we sort of plant seeds, right? And you hope and pray that it makes a difference, but you don't always get to see immediate results of what you do, right? So my dad decided to take up woodworking, right? And he built this whole like place in our basement where he could go down and saw and, you know, shave things and make things. I don't even know the right terminology for it, but he became a carpenter in essence, right? And he built like a little phone stand that we had our phone on. He built a dresser. He built a beautiful rocking chair. And then he kind of got tired of it because, you know, it's a lot of work. And if you spend time with that machine that cuts the wood, did you ever notice that shavings go flying everywhere? Have you ever seen that? And he would take a shower, and he would still have, like, shavings, like, deep down in. And I think he even got a splinter one time from having shavings laying around him. A carpenter is not a prestigious position, even though it should be. And Joseph is the one. And Mary, we don't really know much about her. But most likely she was a 14-year-old young girl who was from a Jewish practicing religious family and was betrothed to a man named Joseph. We assume that Joseph had been married before and something happened with his wife. She either passed away or they got divorced or something, because scripture seems to lead us to believe that Joseph was much older. So imagine she's this younger lady who's engaged to this older man who really can't pursue any other relationships because she's betrothed, right? And even if she has a nice-looking guy next door who she thinks is really good-looking, she can't really pursue that relationship. She's promised to someone else, which we don't really do as much today, right? We don't have arranged marriages in the United States as much. I know some Pakistani families still do that in some other situations, but most of the time we choose our spouse, right? We choose the person we want to be with. And she didn't have that opportunity. And Mary was rather lowly. Let's talk a minute about why were they the important ones. It seems to me that in the scripture stories, God teaches us that who he really is able to work through, who he's able to make a difference in the world with, who he's able to influence and transform and inspire, are often the people that are open to that. Sometimes when we're prestigious or we're popular or we're successful, our heads get kind of, have you ever seen that happen to anybody? Where their head gets sort of big? It's an imaginary bigness, right? But it is large. And when their head is so large, they don't seem to have any room in there for God to say anything or come into the story and make a difference. The high society folks are not often the ones that God uses to influence our world. He did have the wise men come. They were a little late in the game. But do you know what the wise men's trade was? They actually studied stars. How many of you have ever studied stars? I know one person that wants to, right? It's really kind of a cool field, right? I mean, you learn about the patterns of the mini suns that are all around, right? And floating around in our galaxies, and I'm probably saying it wrong, but, you know, they're up there, right? And there's little patterns, they make shapes, and they tell things. And these wise men studied the shapes in the stars for patterns. And one day it came along where something was different. There was this bright, beautiful, powerful star, and it told them something. And they were open to finding out what that was. And they went to the king. Thank you, Sean, for playing the king. I think you did an excellent job. Well done. But what happened with that king in the story? Do you remember? Did he get it right and go and worship the child that had been born? Nope. He kind of sent the wise men on their way and said, hey, when you find the baby, can you come back and tell me where he is? Because I want to go see him. Yeah. And in a dream, the wise men learned that that was not true. What Jesus did was take those who were lowly and make them mighty. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm getting ready for my day and I'm thinking about what I've done with my life and what I yet want to do, I sometimes think I'm a little lowly. You know, I'm just an average person who lives in an apartment on top of a garage and drives my mom and dad's old car. And, you know, I have an iPhone, but I probably really can't afford it, but I love it. You know what I mean? I'm a lowly person. But I will tell you this. That I pray every day that God would use me in a mighty way. And I can promise you that wherever you are in life, whether you're high and mighty and big in society, or whether you're lowly in your trade, or whether you're ordinary or average, or you want to be something amazing, I have the answer for you tonight. Christ Jesus was born that we might have life and have it abundantly. And even though he was born 2,000 years ago, and the story might seem old, it is still powerful and mighty. I know some of you are going through some rough times. And I know sometimes you look elsewhere for happiness, but it can't be found in a bottle. It can't be found even in a relationship. It can't be found in money, and it can't even be found in the practice of religion. It can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this Christmas, I pray that the wonder of Jesus Christ's birth would enter your heart and transform you anew for now and evermore. Amen.